Welcome to MGO Podcast 11.22. Before we get into this, I just want to make it clear that I have no servants in my household, castrated or not. Guys, bad news, no music in the Uber today.
Darn.
Also, the guy was like sick, so he had like this sick music that was paused. I was like, I want to hear this. But I didn't have the balls to be like, hey man, hit me with your sweet jams.
I mean, it's interesting that like the other person in the car was sick instead of you. That's different.
With an H.
Ah, okay.
S-I-K-H.
Oh, you mean seek.
Seek.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I've only read it in Europa Universalis a million times.
Okay.
So what happens in my mind is I read something and then I get a pronunciation and I never hear it.
Yeah,
so
no, I've been there.
Yeah. So yeah, so he had some Sikh jams just paused.
Mm.
And I was like, I want to hear your Sikh jams.
You wanted to hear his sick Sikh jams.
Yeah. Speaking of Sikh jams, John Teske got one.
He had one, yeah. There you go. That
Before we get into that,
Franz Wagner had a couple.
Before we get into that, we'd like to thank our sponsors. Our presenting sponsors are UGP and the Bow Store. We are currently at the Residence Inn, Ann Arbor downtown. Our other sponsors are Homeshore Lending, Peak Wealth Management, University of Michigan Alumni Association, Ann Arbor Elderall, Michigan Law Grad, Human Element, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, The Athletic, and Fuego Box. I am Brian Cook.
I'm A. Sandbender.
I'm David DeJulius.
DeJulius. I mispronounced Sikh. I'm sorry. Now I got it.
Yeah.
That was a tribute
and
to Seth.
And that means you'll have it forever, right? Like
Taylor Luan.
Yes! Who was the little incredible slot receiver from 2012 that had the catch?
Drew Dilio?
Oh, you got it, too. Man, all he's right. 2 for 2 today. We should just do this all game.
Yeah, let's just do this.
I think he should quit while he's ahead.
All right, quitting while I'm ahead. Speaking of not quitting while behind Purdue, it's a 57-45 game when Matt Painter goes full-time Izzo. This is the only point I will ever compare Tom Izzo and Matt Painter.
Thank you.
Goes for a full 2.5 minutes of Eat Your Liver time, featuring a foul with 6 seconds left.
Does he do this a lot? Like, is this 10. Typical of him, or is this just kind of a outlier situation?
I think this was our bid is slipping, and we just need to go balls to the
Yeah,
ball.
They were desperate.
So but, that's fair then, right? Like, that's a unique situation where he's, like, just trying to scramble for his tournament live.
I mean, it's understandable. It does not make for a fun viewing experience. No, I didn't even watch the last 4 minutes of the condensed, like, version of the game on YouTube when I was prepping for this podcast.
Also, it distorts the stats from this game an awful lot because in this 2.5 minutes, the play for Michigan is to allow no threes and don't foul, and the play for Purdue is to go hard at the offensive boards in case of any miss. So you have basketball that doesn't really...
You have Trevion Williams stat pumping time.
Right. So he goes 3 for 4 in this period, and Purdue scores like a point, more than a point and a half per possession. And Michigan's completely fine with this because as long as they bleed it out slowly, they're going to win the game.
So, yeah, they're just trading free throws for twos, and that's fine.
Right. So but the full defensive dominance that was this entire game doesn't get reflected in the final score or the points per possession on KenPom. And that, my friends, is a little bit sad because they really just wrecked Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, so before desperation foul time, they were 15 for 40 on two-pointers, which is a pretty large leap from where they were in the first game.
Yeah.
It's also terrible.
And they were 4 for 16 on threes over the course of the entire game. And that, especially compared to their numbers normally at Mackey.
Yeah.
Because they shoot like the freaking Golden State Warriors at Mackey Arena and then shoot like this year's Golden State Warriors away from Mackey Arena.
Well, and they had like multiple really good wins at home, right? Like, didn't they beat Michigan State and Iowa? And I feel like they crushed somebody else.
They beat Michigan State by like 25.
Right. Well, and they beat Iowa by a billion.
Yeah. Then they topped 100, I think.
Yeah, they topped 100 in that game.
So they've had some outrageous performances at home. And in this game, they could not get clean looks. It really didn't matter which Michigan guard was out there. They were really shutting down the perimeter. Obviously, having Isaiah Livers back also helps there. Yeah. And the post defense was much improved.
I mean, that's the main story. In the preview that I wrote for this game, I was like, you know, if it's Davis versus Williams, just foul him because he's a 45% foul shooter.
And instead, playing him straight up with Davis worked quite well because he could just be physical with him and he knew which shoulder Travion Williams prefers, which was a nice point out by the announcing team in this game.
Yeah, Robbie Hummel and Jason Benetti, aside from a Gus and Raftery game, probably the best unit you could get in college basketball right now.
Yeah, they're good.
And Hummel was pointing out that Travion Williams wants to go over his left shoulder, and Michigan was preventing him from doing that. He was still doing it, but every time he went up for a shot, he had to finish not over a Michigan player, but through a Michigan player.
Yeah.
And he goes 5 of 16 from the floor.
He misses his first four shots.
Yeah. 5 of 16 from the floor before the nonsense time before, at the end. Yeah,
right. Ridiculous period.
And Michigan doubles down a little bit every once in a while. There was one shot, which was a tough hook that I think to Julius induced by digging down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But pretty much everything else was straight up one-on-one post defense of the variety we thought we were going to get heading into the season.
Yeah, although I think it helped to add that just by adding the threat of having a guy potentially dig down, even if you have a guy take a step down, a lot of times what that does is just cause the guy to pick up his dribble.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that a few different times with Williams in this game where he was thinking about what kind of coverage he was going to get, picked up his dribble, and did not have great position when he was taking his shot.
Yeah, just put a little bit of uncertainty. You don't have to do it a whole lot.
No, it was just it was really the difference between doing it like once or twice in this game versus literally no times in the first time around.
Yeah.
So this is point Juwan for adjusting from that.
Oh, I thought this whole game was point
Juwan. I just wrote down Juwan fixed it as the lead in to this section. And this is a thing that we've seen the whole season, right? So Michigan had a ton of trouble with Michigan State's running off makes in the first game, completely shut that off in game two. Mm-hmm. You know, they have whenever they have a return game against an opponent and they have Isaiah Livers on the floor, it goes much better. Except when, like, you know, the game at Iowa, which was a total ref job.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's like, and the defense that they've gotten, they've improved a lot, both as a team and as individual defenders, especially in the post. And the offense in the first half of this game, I mean, they score 36 points and they miss how many wide open looks from three?
Multiple.
Too many.
Especially in the first few minutes.
Too many.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting wide open shots whenever they wanted it. And they just weren't able to convert. I mean, they hit 6-25 threes in this game, way below what those shots like should have been, right? Like, obviously, you have a couple from Xavier Simpson.
There were decent looks.
I mean, so we should talk about hot hand at this point, because there was a point in like the analytics era where people dismissed the idea of hot hand because there was a study that people did and just took out sections where people had made a bunch of threes and then saw what happened after that and saw no evidence of a hot hand. The strange thing about this is that some 10 or 15 years later, some other super nerds went back and looked at this and they found a weird statistical issue with the first paper where if you have these like runs of heads and tails, if you just try to do this, you're actually cutting out sections of
data you need.
Yeah, data you need. And so once you account for that, there is a real hot hand effect. And what's more, these studies don't take into account the heat check effect, right? Hmm. Where like you hit a couple threes in a row, so the next one you throw granny style off the dribble, right? Like this is a real thing
from
that
the
happens.
Logo.
Yeah, from the logo. And
sometimes it goes in.
Sometimes it goes in, but
a lot of times it doesn't.
When you're Xavier Simpson in the Michigan State game and your heat checks are still practice jumpers, you know, once you've got it going, you should expect to hit 4-7. And we saw this in the Rutgers game where he hits his first two and then Pikel's like, nope.
Yeah.
We're done.
Rutgers went from going under screens to screaming over them.
So when he's able to hit his first couple, he either is in a hot hand range where he is a three-point shooter who you have to check, or you don't check him. And both of those are good outcomes for Michigan. In Purdue, against Purdue, he goes 0 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 5 from 3. To be fair, one of his threes was like a late clock.
Have to heave it. Yeah, he's ducking under a guy.
So that doesn't really count. But still, they go under him a couple times. He misses his first couple. And then to be able to deal with the fact that you get to go under Xavier Simpson screens without getting punished and still have the first half Michigan had with the open looks that they had, with the dunks at the basket, I mean, that's good stuff.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, Simpson had a pretty big role in the passing, obviously, but you had Teske passing as well as I've ever seen him pass, a bunch of the like really gorgeous bounce passes. He had a touch pass in transition where DeJulius was pushing it, and I thought it was a horrible idea to throw it to Teske on a dead sprint because it's hard to be 7'1 and 260 pounds and either put the ball immediately on the floor or know what to do with it, and he just touch passed it right to Franz Wagner for a layup.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Wagner had a bunch of nice passes in this game. DeJulius was running the pick and roll really well, especially they would play Simpson off the ball for decent chunks of this game. Especially after Eli Brooks went out with the bloody face.
Yeah. A clash of heads, as they would call it in soccer.
And DeJulius was fantastic.
Especially defensively. Like Hummel's pointing this out, like he's going over screens and Sasha Stefanovic has absolutely no room to do anything.
Yeah, Stefanovic goes 3 for 3 on 3-pointers in this game, none of them come against DeJulius.
Right, and he gets one good look early off a curl screen when DeJulius is on the bench, and then they're able, he's like on, right? Like he's hitting, and they can't get him shots.
Yeah, I think his other two came in transition,
yeah,
or in at least in a scramble situation.
So is the light going on for him?
I mean, I would say like his shooting has not been great, and he's still been productive, which is remarkable given where he started at this year. Over the last month, he's got an assist rate of 23 and a turnover rate under 11. So he's
stuff.
He's turning into a real point guard before our eyes, and he's also improved dramatically as a defender.
He gets after it. He also changed his hair.
There were moments when it was difficult to figure out whether it was Simpson or DeJulius making a play.
Well, the first time he came on the court, I'm like, who is that? Oh, he must be a Purdue player. And then I tried to map Michigan faces onto Purdue players, and I was like, what universe am I in? What's happened?
And you kind of lost touch with things for a moment. I had a brief existential crisis.
I did. And then I was like, oh, DeJulius changed his hair. Don't do that midseason.
I don't know, man. He changed his hair and had a great game. So we might have to, especially if he's like going to become Xavier Simpson with a shot.
Then
I think braided DeJulius is a good thing.
You can do it over the off season. Xavier Simpson has changed his hair. He always changes it over the off season.
Multiple times.
It's true.
Except that one game where he had like alfalfa hair, which I think was the Purdue game, wasn't it?
No, I think it was like the Penn State game.
All right. Well, so
which worked out well for that hair.
We've gotten a little off track.
We have, slightly.
Surprise.
So we've gone this deep into this segment without mentioning Franz Wagner had a career high.
Yeah.
No surprise.
6 of 8 from 2, 3 of 5 from 3. His usual output of 2 steals a game without gambling too much. He had a post possession against Williams that went well.
Yeah, defensively. Post possession.
And he's creating his own shots. He had a couple ISO possessions. I mean, there was one where he beat Boudreau off the dribble, got the ball off the backboard, and then Williams goaltended it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the finish after that Teske pass was nice and patient because he had to body up Boudreau, get him under the basket, and then finish. Like you can see what all the preseason hype was about. Just like he had one bucket. Was this against Rutgers? Or I think it was against Rutgers where he stopped in the lane. He pivots to pass out. There's no one to pass out to. He comes back under and lifts up, and it's like a layup for him despite the fact he's outside the restricted circle.
Yeah, he's so long. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I wrote down fancy footwork, not travel.
Right.
Yeah, no, he had a gorgeous dancing along the baseline finish against Rutgers too.
Yeah.
This game, we saw how versatile of a piece he is on offense because at least one of his threes came when he was the pop guy on a double drag screen. And actually, Michigan this was a really nice kind of added wrinkle from Juwan Howard, where instead of totally rolling to the basket hard, John Teske goes down and picks Wagner's guy as he's trying to recover out. And I think Wagner's guy at that point was Evan Boudreau, too. So it was just like it was a really difficult matchup for Purdue, and it got him a wide open look, and he was really on in this game. And then you also have him running as the ball handler on a few pick and roll possessions.
Yeah.
He's just an impossible defender to kind of maneuver around in a lot of ways, especially off the ball. We're just seeing a lot of things come together for him right now.
Well, he's kind of like that KD matchup, right? Where he's just really long in a lot of ways, and he ends up being guarded by somebody who usually can't either match his speed or quickness or his length, so you end up kind of having to pick one.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys with his wingspan and skill.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, there are times where he still gets beat defensively. I think he got beat for a layup in this game, but his ability to switch onto a guy like Winston and be able to harass him into a contested jump shot and then switch on to a guy like Williams and not have that be a total disaster. I mean, that's, I mean.
And that also reminds me, this game, something that really sprung, like popped out to me while rewatching it was that, like the you watch this game and you just think Michigan is a team that is coached at a very high level. When you watch them defensively, they are pulling off switches without any issue in this game. They are switching a lot. They are sprinkling in zone, and it's really effective.
You know what Howard isn't doing anymore?
What's that?
He's not holding up the picture of P.J. Tucker.
You know, it finally maybe sunk in with these guys. So, yeah, I actually hadn't noticed that, but that's, I think, a good point that, like, they don't need it anymore. Because it was especially notable with, like, DeJulius was doing a great job of knowing when to fight over and then slide back onto the guy who was setting the screen. And that was stuff that, you know, a lot of times early in the season, guys kind of had to point him to a spot. And now, I mean, everything was just seamless. I think they gave up like one pretty good look in zone. But otherwise, this was a pretty... almost flawless defensive performance.
Harms had a dunk on a roll to the basket.
Where Michigan forgot to tag him.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where it happens once a game, and you're like, oh yeah, that happens sometimes to other teams.
Yeah, and by that point, it was like Michigan was up 15.
Yeah.
And so, like, okay. It was almost a nice reminder that, like, oh, we've been playing so well that nothing like this has happened the entire rest of the game.
Yeah. So the other thing about Franz is, at this point in his career, Caris LeVert was getting 15 minutes a game as a 94 O-rated guy.
Yes.
On the Trey Burke team. And Franz Wagner is 2 days younger than Caris LeVert was at this point in his Michigan career.
Which is crazy, because Caris LeVert was a baby.
But he never had this kind of offensive stuff in his freshman year, right?
No.
Not his freshman year, absolutely not.
No, I mean, obviously he blew up into, well,
That's the point. Like, in year two, he was a absolute mainstay for the number three offense in the country. He had like a 111 O-rating, and he still had so much more growth to come. So we've talked about this.
I mean, we saw the flash senior year. It was 20 could have been.
Yeah.
Like easy Naismith winner probably, and then he gets hurt. And so not only is Franz ahead of where Caris was at this point in his career, but he has just as much runway as Caris. So like, expectation.
He just cracked 30% on three-pointers.
Right, and we know that's – I mean, we know that's going to get better.
And
I hope.
Yeah.
I was like
– And Matt D pointed out on Twitter that Wagner has somewhat changed the mechanics of his shot a little bit. He's not jumping as high. It's a little bit more of a set shot right now, and so maybe that was the tweak he needed to start getting these to go. We'll see.
Which you can get away with a little bit with that height.
Well, when you're that tall, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also with the amount of room that he tends to get, because he has that threat off the dribble, and also a lot of his threes are coming on either catch and shoot situations off a pick and roll kickoff.
He has a low release, but it's a quick release.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not coming from above his head, but he gets it out very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it's a shot that should at least hit acceptable, same 35%, and could get a lot better than that. And then if you – I mean, he's already like what's he shooting in Big Ten play from two, and what does that rank in the conference?
He is 10th in the conference at 58% on twos.
As a 200-and-change-pound true freshman, the age of Caris LeVert.
Yep.
Yeah, after a summer of Camp Sanderson.
He's also 17th in the conference in defensive rebound rate.
Oh yeah, he has had a couple of games where he's hit like 12 or 15 rebounds.
So he
and he's top 25 in both blocks and steals.
He should absolutely blow up over the offseason, and he's already in the process of doing so. And
yeah, I mean, I think the question is whether like we get the sophomore breakout to end this season or to start next season.
I still think it's going to be more like next season.
Yeah, we'll see the fully formed version, but it's like how many times do we get a flash of that? Because we obviously got a flash of that against Purdue.
You get Livers back, you get Johns back, you get Wagner back, and that's like...
And then you add in both point guards that have shown...
Right. Then you add spots. Josh, you replace X with Josh Christopher. Going to lose a little bit in certain parts, but I think that'll go decently. You have DDJ and Brooks splitting the point guard spot. That'll probably go pretty well. And then you got some question marks at center, I'd say.
But Hunter Dickinson coming in is a very nice piece to have, especially since like he's 7'3", and you cannot, or somewhere in that area, and you can't teach that.
And Castleton, I mean, everybody was writing off Davis before this year, and now everybody's kind of writing off Castleton.
But it's still only his second year.
Yeah, but if
and as we'll talk about in the next game, he's improved too.
Yeah. I mean, this is, leaving aside the period in March, I mean, given the record Michigan has, this is the best case scenario because Livers was out for a long period of time and the stuff that happened in January was just all a lot of bull crap from behind the line.
Wagner got a late start.
Yeah.
And shooting off a broken wrist.
And this is a game in which Michigan faced the number one turnover defense in the conference.
And had one live ball turnover.
And three total. They had three turnovers.
While working the ball around like they were the friggin' Harlem Globetrotters.
And they were in a dead heat for offensive rebounds until garbage time.
They were winning it for the most part until garbage time.
Well, and like you were saying, if they hit any of those open shots in the first, 5 minutes of the game, then there is no like foul period at the end. Because at that point, it's probably a 20-plus point game. And I mean...
Yeah, and the only reason we had an extended foul period at the end was because of Purdue's desperation, because they were never going to get close.
But 10 points is like, okay, you can't foul when it's a 20-point game,
there
right?
There were maybe one or two possessions where it was justifiable for Purdue to foul early, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, if Michigan hits two more twos, other 25, this is an 18-point game.
And there's no extended foul time.
So, impressive win. Gritty, lunch pail kind of win.
Speaking of lunch pails wins,
let's do the next segment.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Recently, Seth and I were having lunch, and he asked me what someone in their 30s married with children should be doing with their finances. I rattled off some gibberish, and then he said, "That's what your next ad should be." So, here we go. Hey, it's Nick Hopwood, your MGO financial coach. I'm a certified financial planner, founder, and president at
Peak Wealth Management.
And it would be smart for you to start paying close attention at this point. I think you would want to consider the following. Max out your 401k. I like the Roth 401k, as long as your income is under $415,000 per year. Max out your Roth IRA. Set up your mortgage on a 15-year amortization. Add $500 a month for each kid's 529. Invest with the appropriate risk tolerance. Make sure you have enough life insurance to cover debts, education, and income replacement. Don't take out any credit card debt. Pay all your bills each month. Make sure you have an emergency fund. And if your needs are any more complicated than that, connect with us at peakwm.com to book an appointment.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
If you get in foul trouble in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man on your bench. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
The University of Michigan was the place we all came together. It's where we pursued our curiosities and where we rallied around things that really mattered. The Alumni Association has now made it possible for you to reconnect with your fellow Wolverines around endless topics within alumni online communities. It's where you can join in the discussion or start your own on any subject from your career, identity, hobbies, or interests. Go to umalumni.com/communities and keep the conversation going.
Come together right now over me.
Prior to Purdue was a win over Rutgers at the previously impregnable rack without Isaiah Livers.
Not bad.
And, oh, yeah, I forgot Livers didn't even play in that one.
Yeah, and you also have a lot of Brandon Johns foul trouble. So you have 15 minutes combined.
To fill up the four.
From Castleton and Nunez.
Guess which minutes went better?
To be fair, was Nunez the four? Or was he just
He was not the four.
No. Yeah.
He was Franz playing.
But he was on the court because Johns was in foul trouble. Nunez misses a three, has a two-on-one with Simpson where he runs to the corner and you're just like...
And Simpson has to just eat a shooting foul because he has no real option?
And you're kind of like, dude, you're a 22% career three-point shooter. Why are you running to the corner?
I know like he's a shooter by trade.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
A two-on-one, and the partner goes to the corner.
No. He did fail to get credit for an offensive rebound. He tipped out, so let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, we'll give that.
And Michigan's in zone the whole time he's on the court because they don't trust this man-to-man defense. Castleton gets 10 minutes in the second half.
Michigan largely stays in zone with him out there because he's crazy long.
They were
switching it up.
I actually watched every... I did the Craig Ross, and I'm like, let's zoom in on Castleton.
Did you go slow-mo?
I did not.
Oh.
Because I'm not crazy.
that's a different question.
They stuck in zone for about 3 minutes of his 10 on the court, and they went back to man-to-man.
Yeah. And he was good in both.
He was good in both. So Rutgers tried to drive him twice. The first one was Mulcahy getting that crazy off-balance shot after Castleton had walled him up.
Yeah, it was... profoundly lucky.
Right. And it's like,
and then the second one was a better outcome where Yeboah just falls over and loses the ball out of bounds.
So those are guys who are much smaller than him trying to drive him when he's at the four. Both those go well. No, not exactly Kevin Durant at the four for either of those guys, but you know.
But like Yeboah is 230 pounds and strong, so it was nice to see Castleton, who's only got like 5 pounds on him right now, just wall up and be able to, I mean, he didn't knock him over, but he positioned himself and didn't get knocked back.
And then there's the and one where he's a step inside the three-point line. He takes one dribble, finishes through contact. He gets an offensive rebound, hits both free throws.
Yeah.
And that was like the changing point, wasn't it? I mean, they were down 9 and in sort of some dire straits.
So he came down
Oh, the decision to put in Castleton when John's got his third foul instead of Nunez absolutely was what won the game.
Yeah, so they were down 5 when he came on. They get a couple of buckets early against the zone, which aren't really on Castleton. They're down 9. By the time he leaves the court, Michigan's up 5. So they got contributions out of Castleton that they didn't get out of Nunez, that they will never get out of Nunez. And so if there's any point in the future where you're in such bad foul trouble or you get an injury, it's got to be Castleton at the 4 is how you win those minutes back.
And hopefully come tournament time, maybe a slightly less strict auto bench policy. Because there was a lot of this where when Johns just has 2 fouls, I mean, I understand with Livers not in this game, you're more limited. But, I'd rather you just push it to the point of Johns fouling out instead of giving Nunez time on the court in a game you really want to win.
Yeah, this was a bad game for the idea that Juwan Howard will overturn the auto bench policy.
No, it was an awful game for that.
Yeah.
And we've seen this season that that's kind of just probably going to be his
MO. Well, I wonder if it was part of his contract.
Because Michigan is 334th in 2-foul participation.
And at other points in the season, like Simpson is sitting out most of the first half, I think, against Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're just blowing the doors off Indiana. So it's all right.
That part's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But like bringing in Adrian Nunez in a tight game against Rutgers is like.
On the road.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the good news is I think they're done with that.
Yeah.
Although I've said that before, I think.
So outside of the Castleton versus Nunez debate, this was a game in which Xavier Simpson absolutely carried Michigan. So Rutgers is a tough defensive team. Michigan is 6 for 23 from 3. And Simpson is able – he's only got 5 assists, but he had so many other opportunities to get assists and then
– You hit a reasonable number of threes, and he has at least 8.
Yeah, 8, 10 assists. He's able to get to the bucket and convert there. And he hits his first 2 twos. So Pikel has to get out of his – pick and roll covers that he wanted to play.
Oh, you mean he hit his first 2 threes?
Yes, that's what I meant.
And that was really what changed things, because at that point, that was when Simpson's passing really started to become effective inside the arc. With Rutgers going over screens, he had a lot easier time getting into the middle of the defense and breaking it down. It really puts you in a bind if you're Rutgers, because on the one hand, like, you maybe still want to duck under those screens and just like do a better job of getting out on Simpson, because they were really giving him all the room in the world on those 2 shots that he made. And then he was just picking them apart once they started going over screens. But at the same time, Michigan wasn't shooting well. But Simpson really puts opponents in the bind now that he's got that ability to knock down those practice level 3-point jumpers on a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah. And it's, Michigan's in a spot where they can win consecutive road games against Purdue and Rutgers, both teams at least on the fringe of the NCAA tournament, while going 6 of 23 and 6 of 25 from 2. In this one, Z carries
3.
Them. 3, sorry. In this one, Z carries them. In the other game, he doesn't make a shot from the field. So like,
and one of them, they don't have Livers.
These are not games Michigan is winning in November.
And they're not playing
like, they played a game like this versus Illinois in November. They went 3 of 18 from 3 and lost.
Yeah.
And I remember tweeting out, 3 of 18 from 3, the end. A team like this cannot win games unless with that kind of line. And they just did it back-to-back.
Yeah, because you look back at Atlantis, and they shot over 50% from 3 in the Gonzaga game.
Yeah.
Michigan's best performances before that, they were 42% from beyond the arc against Carolina, and 47 or 48% against Iowa State. Like that was a hell of a shooting run for this team. And now that they're, and I don't think they're this bad of a shooting team as they've showed, especially now that Livers is in the lineup. If Franz is starting to pick it up a little bit, they have a lot of room to explore. And they're already a top 20 offense, despite not having Livers for a pretty decent chunk of this season. But they're now 20th on KenPom and 2nd in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And they're shooting below 31% on threes in Big Ten play. And that, I don't think, is reflective of this team's real shooting ability.
Yeah, and then the Purdue game was more indicative of this, but this was also a game where John Teske has reemerged as a post defender slash consumer of everything near the basket. So Miles Johnson only gets 19 minutes in this game.
Which was odd.
A little bit odd, but also they put him in the game. They posted him up a few times early in the second half. And I think Teske blocked every single one of his shots. Like, he was 0-3 from the floor. Teske had 3 blocks. And I think all 3 of those were him just packing Johnson and putting him.
There might have been one that was on somebody else.
And that's kind of reflective of what you were saying about this is not a game that Michigan wins in November, because their overall defense has gotten so much better in the last few weeks.
Yeah, and he's pointed out on a post on the site that a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're playing teams that don't really have a lot of back-to-the-basket game.
Well, but then Purdue was that was a really, really encouraging game in terms of, like, this might be a real defensive turnaround instead of something that was largely opponent-driven. So that was lovely to see.
Yes. The Rutgers game is more in Teske's wheelhouse, pick and roll stuff, hedge and recover.
Miles Johnson and Shaq Carter are not like great back to the basket players.
No, so kind of expected, but you know you want to see it, and for Michigan to be able to pull this off against Rutgers, force them on to look pretty much like previous Rutgers teams when they try to do offense is encouraging. We got to talk about Jacob Young.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Off-brand Isaiah Washington.
Oh, it's so good.
So there's a point in the first half where the referee stops the game and, like, admonishes Jacob Young and Xavier Simpson to stop talking to each other.
And at that point, they had been going at it up and down the floor for a while.
And why are you talking, Jacob? Why are you talking?
So I mean, he's clearly one of those, like, small irrational confidence guys who has to use his small guy anger to fuel everything on the court.
Right. So he has a pick six on DDJ in this game. He had 3 in the previous Rutgers game, and then he finishes the layup after DeJulius gets absolutely packed by Johnson. One of the more disrespectful things that has happened on a basketball court this year.
He takes 8 other shots.
Yes. None and how many of those does he make?
0.
0. His O rating is
43.
No. For the season.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, it's not much better. It is 80.4.
What is his usage?
27.
Oh. What the hell?
He's.
Where did he transfer from?
Texas.
Amaker. Over Shaka. QED! He recruited that guy. He's like, Jacob Young can play for me.
I mean, in fairness, Jacob Young had a 103-0 rating as a sophomore, but he was only using 19% of possessions at that point.
I don't know. He's a miracle. To a guy,
it was remarkable. I mean, he just flung himself at the basket.
Who barks at Xavier Simpson and then goes 0-4 in the half court as Simpson just dices up. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know, I was real sad when Isaiah Washington transferred to Iona.
It was a bummer. It was such, especially since, like, in Minnesota's, like, kind of non-structured offense, you could really just there was so much potential there.
And because whatever Isaiah Washington walks on the court, just the Beastie Boys sabotage is playing in your head.
Like, you're seeing guys in aviators, right, just slowly, like, walking out on the court.
70s cop mustaches, yep, appear on all the assistant coaches.
Oh, man.
And now we can still do that. We have another sabotage guy in the Big Ten. And he's back next year unless he goes to the NBA. Unless he goes to the NBA.
He is a serious irrational confidence guy. You could see it happen.
He might transfer to Iona.
No, oh, that would be such a bummer.
No.
Can't do that.
Got to come back. Gotta come back, have that game that Isaiah Washington had where he hit like 75 jumpers just inside the 3-point line.
Michigan still won that game, so we can laugh about it.
He's gotta have that game.
Because otherwise I would not be happy that you brought it up.
He's gotta have the Jacob Young game where, like, he gets his personal revenge on me. This is it. We're having a wrestling promo so that Jacob Young comes back next year. Jacob Young! You scored 0 points outside of transition against Michigan. Are you going to be a man and return for your senior season?
Who's going to wrestle him?
DeJulius, probably.
Yeah.
Juwan.
He's the heir apparent in, like, stockiness and...
Yeah. Hairstyle apparent.
Yeah. Yeah, he is slowly transforming into Xavier Simpson with a pull-up 3-pointer. I'm enjoying it.
What else do we have about Rutgers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That kind of game.
That kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, this was another game where Franz was good inside the arc. Didn't have his outside shot going in this game, but...
Eli hit a really big three. Yeah. Like, he didn't hit anything else.
He missed his other five.
Yeah.
So but he was good. He was also good inside the arc.
He's 0 of 5 from three, and the shot clock is ticking down. He's got a 6'7 dude on him, and he's just like...
He just eyes him up.
Eyes him up, gets him stepping back, and pulls up from three, hits the iciest shot of his career. On the bench, Xavier Simpson and Jalen Rose are doing the same thing. It is hilarious that Jalen Rose is hanging on what Eli Brooks does.
Yes. Eli Brooks would not have been in the Fab Five.
No. Well, and like Jalen is dead serious. I'm not like we've had some Jalen problems, but Jalen is all in on Michigan basketball.
Dude loves Michigan basketball.
Yep.
Dude loves the players,
right?
And he loves our current coach, obviously.
But it is just
has some issues with the administration.
It is just hilarious when they cut to the bench and there's a free throw and like you know they got Juwan and then Jalen's in the background and Jalen is just looking. Jalen is not on his phone. Jalen is not talking to anybody. Jalen is wheeling that ball into the damn basket.
And, like, Jalen Rose is a dude who, like, first of all, probably does not have that many nights off during the NBA season. Let's be real. That guy has a lot of work to do for ESPN. And, like, he chooses to spend one of those evenings at the Lewis Brown Athletic Center in Piscataway, New Jersey, because that's how much he loves Michigan basketball.
Well, he went and saw Amani Bates with...
Yeah, but Amani Bates is like an attraction.
Okay. More than the rec?
I would say so.
Okay, it's fair. It's fair. If Worldwide West and Dikembe Mutombo showed up at one of Bates' games, it would be less weird than if they showed up at Welsh Ryan.
Yep. And we saw that, so yeah. We are clearly out of things to talk about in terms of the Rutgers game.
Let's take a break and come back with a very special segment.
What's your ideal retirement age? Are you saving and investing enough to reach your goals? Are you on track to pay off your mortgage before retirement? How much income do you really need in retirement? I'm Nick Hopwood, certified financial planner, founder, and president at
Peak Wealth Management
in Plymouth. When clients walk out the door after a planning meeting, they know exactly what their needs are and where they stand relative to their goals. In my experience, most advisors don't do any planning at all. So my guess is now is the perfect time for a second opinion. And you can book your second opinion online at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages
$110,000.
It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across Southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks, and you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He looked at my insurance, and he was like, yeah, your coverage sucks, and you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also, like, I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games. Well, and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually like reads MGo blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together and you will save money on your insurance and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Unbelievably hot that they feel like Jacob Young thinks he is in his mind. In the mind of Jacob Young, it's so hot. And I need you to reach that hotness. Can you do it?
I don't know.
Well, can you try?
I can tell you're still recovering. But yes, I will do my best.
Will you try?
Folks, I've got bronchitis and I'm doing this again for you. And Fuego Bucks. Sacrificing.
What we do for our sponsors.
What we do for our sponsors. All right.
Ace, I need your hottest take. Whether or not he has a broken nose, Eli Brooks needs to rock the Rip Hamilton mask for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because, like, he has that game, right? Like, I mean, it's mostly, like, at this point, moving off the ball, hitting pull-up shots. He's got a mid-range game that we really like, which he's is like Rip Hamilton's jam.
He takes a 15-footer, and you're like, yeah, that's a good shot.
And Rip Hamilton rocked his mask whether or not his nose was broken at some point, because he just had broken it so many times. Eli Brooks can get out ahead of that, even if his nose wasn't broken. You know, preventative care is, you know.
Didn't Rock
do
that?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, the accessories Mar game?
Yes. Yeah, we had that with Rock. You know, he got hit pretty hard in the face. Also, adding to the hot takeness, it is really warm under those things. So, you know, that it's a literal hot take.
Yeah.
So you feel like Eli Brooks is just one face mask away from unstoppability.
Yes. And then he's just going to be an absolute killer from mid-range.
And have
probably up his defensive ability, too. Maybe add some stamina.
Have a Rock-like senior year.
I mean, it's got to be super annoying to have a guy in like a mask like hit a three on you. Or like D-up, like positionally D-up, like he's got the mask on.
Yeah, you're looking at it like, man, this guy's got to be trying so hard right now. I just don't want to deal with this.
Light's like reflecting off of it, like you can't see.
Oh, yeah. If we were playing at Wisconsin, they have the thing that flashes when you're like when they're on defense, which should be illegal, by the way. It's so annoying on television. And it's just like he's driving on you, and then all of a sudden the light reflects off his mask into your eyes. You fall over. And then because you're Brad Davison, they call a charge. Never mind. Let's not go there.
No. Anyway, rip mask for Eli Brooks.
All right.
Dave! Channel your inner Jacob Young! Austin Davis is going to be Michigan's opening day starter at center next year.
Oh.
Whoa.
I
I'm still leaning towards he's probably not going to be on the roster.
No, I think there will be a wing that transfers. Jace will be a walk-on. They'll have the three guys. I would go Castleton personally, just because I feel like he'll be the best defensive option.
So maybe, but like that jump for Castleton is probably going to come over the summer, and over the last month or two, Austin Davis has not only become like playable, but now he's becoming like a key component of the bench. And like
you could still only play him against certain centers, and I think now. We are very much scraping the ceiling.
I'm not saying he's going to like last into the season, but from a guy who's going to start against probably Northern Michigan.
I don't know. If I'm Hunter Dickinson and I see Austin Davis tried out there as the opening day center, I just like peer down the bench at Juwan Howard and look at him like, what the hell, man?
Right, and that's what's and that's what's going to motivate Hunter Dickinson.
Hunter Dickinson is going to be really good.
Yeah, but Hunter Dickinson isn't going to know what he's doing for at least 6 months.
That's right. But like,
and that's kind of the point, is that Davis generally doesn't miss assignments. He's gotten better, as we just talked about in the Purdue game, on like manning up a little bit defensively. Not that he's great.
I'm just expecting a leap from Castleton that will make this largely irrelevant.
I feel like Austin Davis is a good backup big.
Yes.
Once you get into the backup bigs in the conference, a lot of them aren't going to be able to exploit his defensive inefficiencies.
But there's like a reason that Michigan was mostly matching him up against Williams and like avoiding putting him on Harms.
Yes,
because Harms would shut him down.
But if I would have said Austin Davis is going to be Michigan's backup center next year, you guys would have rolled your eyes at me. And
fair enough. No. That take is fairly hot. Thank you.
You dialed it up this week.
All right, here's mine. Michigan will have 4 first-round picks in the 2021 NBA draft.
All right, so we're going Isaiah Todd, Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers, and
Josh Christopher.
Should I have said 5? Because that's...
That's Kentucky.
It's still a hot enough take because you got to get the timing right. You got to get everybody in the first round.
You got to get Livers
is not being projected as a first round pick,
but
you
can see it. If you give him a full year healthy, you know, someone at the end of the draft is going to be like, this is a perfect 3-and-D NBA guy.
Yeah.
Who can play probably
like switchable defender.
Yeah.
You can plug into your, and if you're at the end of the first round, you're already a good team, right? So what do you want? You want a bench 3-and-D guy. He's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Todd, I imagine, is obvious. Josh Christopher, I imagine, is obvious. The real stretch is like Franz might stay another year because he's so young. And so you might see him.
That would also be acceptable.
But, a lot of guys have left a year earlier than we've anticipated.
So, but
Franz has started to put it together.
It's very possible he could be a two and done.
Yeah.
Just kind of given what we know about his family and their background, I feel like he might be more inclined to stick around a little bit longer.
That's true. They seem to love college.
Because there was a Brendan Quinn article on The Athletic where he was talking about how he came here because he didn't want to be a pro yet. And he didn't want to practice and then go to sleep. He wanted to do a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, wow, that's a really interesting point of view.
Yeah, and a lovely one to hear if you want him to be in a Michigan uniform for a while.
Which we do. So 4 first-round picks.
Let's go.
Let's go. If you would like me to continue speaking in this ridiculous voice until I up and die during a podcast recording, you're a jerk. But you should also go to fuegobox.com/mgoblog10 or go to fuegobox and use the code mgoblog10 for $10 off your Fuegobox membership. They're a hot sauce of the month club. They don't focus just on heat. They focus on flavor. They're looking for emerging hot sauces. You are going to get the indie band of hot sauces from fuegobox.com. Also, I will die during a podcast taping. It's a win-win, everybody. All right.
Perfect.
In honor of...
Morbid.
Jacob, that's kind of... it's the way I wanted to go out. It's like a Viking with an axe.
So Ace and I get to deal with you.
At the
just
peak
like
of my game.
Laying there. What are we going to
do? Just lava comes out of his mouth.
Just finish the podcast and walk away, and someone else will deal with it. It's a hotel. They're
like,
used to it.
It's like custodian comes in.
I mean, they've already had to deal with so many conference room disasters.
Right.
That, like,
building,
what's one more?
One building. It's fine. In honor of Jacob Young being an off-brand Isaiah Washington, we have a gimmicky top 5 of things you shouldn't get the off-brand of.
That we may have hastily thrown together right before this podcast.
No, Dave prepped.
Dave prepped,
and then he came here and he's like, mine are boring. And I was like, you're what? But we didn't want to waste his effort, so we put it together.
We did this, yeah. So,
Ace, you're number 5.
Any fruity candy.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Because, like, there are some fruity candies that, like, aren't the, like, things you normally see when you walk into a candy store that are all right, but it's a major, major roll of the dice most of the time.
Sure.
And artificial fruit flavors can get really bad in a hurry.
So you've got the runts. You get the artificial banana, and that's like, ooh, that's kind of good.
Yeah.
But then if you get like the off-brand artificial banana, it's like, oh, this is poison.
Yes. So candy worth ponying up for the name brand most of the time.
And sometimes when it's like chewy, it's harder than you want it to be. and then it just sticks everywhere. And
like if you get like an off-brand type Starburst thing, like a lot of times it's like chewing rocks.
I have an unrelated story about being pulled over by a cop. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
So I pulled out one morning and I cut off a cop and he pulled me over.
When was this? I'd like to know when this was.
This was about 5 or 6 years
ago. Okay, so that's a while ago.
That's definitely a way to get pulled over.
And I had been like scarfing down like half a box of Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Oh, man.
So they're just in my mouth and they're Everlasting Gobstoppers, so I can't like do anything about it. So I just spit them out into my hands.
Instead of going full marble mouth with the cop?
And the cop comes up to the window. And I'm just holding these like half-eaten gobstoppers in my hand. And he just looks at them and then looks at me. And I don't get a ticket.
He was like, well, you're having a morning, clearly.
He was just like... I can do nothing more to harm you.
You have already lost all dignity.
You're no longer a person. All right. Anyway, Dave, you're number five.
In sort of the vein that Ace was going for, soda pop. I don't really drink soda pop anymore. Like pop.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I used to. And the drop from... like Sprite to lemon lime like Coke to cola or like Dr. K.
This was actually my number three.
This is higher on your list.
That's a good one.
This is higher on my list. So like, you know, I like the fact that, you know, people are taking pride in Detroit and things are coming back and it's like made in Detroit. The exception is Faygo, which is poison.
Rockin' Rye and Red Pop are both fantastic, and I will not hear arguments to the contrary. If they're trying to do someone walks in with a Faygo cola, I am like, what the hell are you doing?
So,
but their original flavors, awesome.
No,
well, original flavors are not off brand because it's original.
Exactly.
So it's when you're like obviously making something that has a like actual version, like that's the point.
Like RC Cola,
yeah,
not bringing it.
All right.
But the Faygo slander goes too far.
RC Cola might be something different. So, I mean, more like
does the slander, at least if it extends to Rock and Rye.
What one thing that
Red Pop
might change our opinions here is I only drink diet soda because I drank it growing up, and so regular soda tastes like I'm dissolving my teeth in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And diet Faygo is
I can imagine
horrendous.
That's bad. Okay, that's fair. I do not drink diet soda at all.
Well, that's the only thing I drink, so that's this point. My number five is Timmy Chandler. So off-brand Timmy Chandler is Timmy Chandler who plays for the U.S. men's national team. He scored like 4 goals recently for his
Bundesliga team. Yeah, because I was going to say, he's actually been...
And people are like calling him in, like we should call him in. No, the last time he got called in, he told someone not to play hard because his pro team played him more. Is that someone you want on your team? No. Timmy Chandler, off-brand Timmy Chandler is U.S. Timmy Chandler. Leave him in Germany where he's happy. And not screwing around.
Universal appeal from this Michigan sports podcast.
He had to find a way to work in soccer at some point.
I know.
It happens every week.
Like three of my next four are about the city council. So
okay. Yeah. I was ready for that.
Right off the clock.
Is Jurgen Klinsmann the fourth?
No. Soda Pop was the fourth.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Ace, you're number three. Four.
Vacation destinations.
Okay.
I'm just thinking like...
Don't go to... Like, Beirut,
you know.
I mean,
yeah, like
so what would be an on-brand vacation destination? Like Hawaii or like
a nice European city, like something like that. And then like the off-brand might be like, I don't know, an Airbnb outside of town or something like we did when I was in high school. We did our Latin class took a trip to Italy, but it was one of those like guided tour type things.
Oh yeah.
And all of our, you know, they kind of cut corners on the cost. So like we quote unquote stayed in Rome. And while we did like walk through Rome and tour the, you know, Colosseum and various ruins and all that.
You stayed in the Novi of Rome.
Yeah. We stayed so far outside of the city that we couldn't even catch like a bus or a subway to get in. We just had to like sit around and eventually find this like very isolated bar because, you know. Drinking age in Italy is not really a thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Cool beans. So this is really off-brand vacations. Like don't skimp so much on the vacation.
Yeah. Like
the pain.
Yeah. Like because you might save a little bit in cost, but like also you're probably going to make up for that by like, okay, now I have to pay to get into town.
Right.
Or who wants to see that anyway?
Yeah, it's like, just like there was like nothing to do in the spot where we were at, and that's not how to...
And you're like going to Rome, and you want to see Rome. You don't really want to see the suburbs of Rome.
Was there a Benihana?
There was nothing, man.
No, there wasn't even a Benihana.
It was just like an industrial area with some hotels and a bar.
All right.
With a British man whose job it was to drink beer.
Huh.
And review it.
Oh. Dave, you're number four.
NyQuil.
NyQuil.
So,
ooh,
I don't
call.
Take a lot of that sort of thing, but like if I have to go to work the next day and I take DayQuil, or I like I'm really stopped up and I like just need to go to sleep because I'm going to try to go to work the next day, like NyQuil is like can put you out, but when you get the off-brand stuff, it doesn't necessarily do that.
Isn't
and then
it literally the same thing?
I think brand, like, yeah, the generics are the same formula.
And maybe it's...
So how is it the...
But, like,
maybe
I was thinking he was saying, like, because NyQuil is the king of the just, like, if you want something that is going to absolutely knock you out for a night, no matter how sick you are, you take NyQuil.
Right.
There are other, like, cough medications that try to be that that have not quite reached that level.
But generic NyQuil is not NyQuil for you?
It's the same thing to me.
For him, it's the same.
Okay. It's been inconsistent in the past. And I'm not, like, a connoisseur, but
It's probably healthy to not be a connoisseur.
Well, that's true. But, yeah.
MC out here.
I've decided that when I need something like that, I'm going to go just get the actual NyQuil and not anything else.
My number four is Sam Webb.
Good call.
Because, I mean, Sam went out to,
The Michigan internet has been, has seen some attempts.
Right. It's just like, you got Sam Webb, and then you got everybody else. Like, Sam Webb went out to see Josh Christopher play in L.A.
He went to see Jalen Wilson, I think, last year, too.
He goes out to see guys. And, when you go out to see people, people know that you're making a big effort, and they talk to you.
Yeah.
So, he gets people to talk to them in ways that nobody else will talk to them. So if he puts in a crystal ball for someone, it really means a lot.
Get some insider info then. Actual insider info.
And, you know, if you're trying to make it in Sam Webb's world, good luck.
Yeah.
There have been some guys who didn't quite make it coaching baseball.
Shout out to Steve Lorenz, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, Steve's obviously very good as well, but...
Yeah,
like it's tough.
It's a different job because like, Sam's also got the radio stuff. I mean, like there's a, it's a little different.
Sam does a lot of things.
Yeah, and he doesn't trash Michigan starting quarterback because he might be a little bit different emotionally. Ace, your number three.
This one got weird.
That's a promising start.
I have lending agent in quotes because
what does
like
that mean?
It's basically like don't like get taken advantage of by like a loan shark. Like because if you go for like to me, like, the off-brand getting a loan is, like, instead of going to a bank, you go to some shady guy in a strip club or something like that.
Do you have experience with this?
No, but I've watched, like, a decent number of true crime shows, so, like...
Seriously? You're basically... This is because you watch, like, Travel Channel too much or...
I mean, like, or, like, True TV or, you know, like...
True TV?
Or just YouTube.
Yeah, he's watching it and it's not a basketball game.
Yeah, that's weird.
That was more when I was... Now they put those shows on other channels. Like, True TV is now just, like, those, like...
Practical Jokers.
Yeah, I was about to say,
You know what I would watch on True TV? Just clips of Jonathan Frakes doing the thing that became a meme where it's just like, have you ever had two bicycles at once?
You'd watch that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
I'd watch a show of people trying to find True TV on their cable box.
It's Frakes-tastic.
Just clicking through. Oh, I can't.
Where is it?
Where are the numbers?
I need to see this basketball game that comes on twice a year.
Dave, you're number three.
You're going to love this one.
I will.
Clothing.
Clothing.
I prefer certain types of clothing or brands or styles, and I generally do not deviate from them.
That's fine. I mean,
also, you always when you go on brand, there is a certain like quality of
anybody who went to Stephen Barry's back in the day knows that there was a difference between the Stephen Barry's product and like the UGP product, right? Like
The Stephen Barry's, like, you know, you got it for $5 or whatever, and then like the sleeves would slowly disintegrate. And slowly I mean like rather rapidly.
Or
like the color would fade to a completely different color the first time you washed it.
Or it didn't even start as the right color.
Yeah.
Sometimes you could wash it into being the
and
right color.
You wouldn't get it for $5. You would get one shirt for $30 and then you would get 6 free shirts.
Yes.
That was their model.
Yeah. It's just like you buy one thing and then we throw half of our inventory at you. I miss that place.
So yeah, no, I think that's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, off-brand clothing is rough.
So we already covered my number three, which is soda slash pop.
Oh, that's yeah. right.
Ace, your number two.
Medical care. I don't think I need to explain that one.
So our baby got born.
That's good.
The second one. And they filed her birth date like the month. So they filed her birth date in September. So we had to pay. Well, we had like.
I assume this did not happen in September?
No, she was born in August.
Okay.
And
that's a critical detail when trying to.
Sure.
thanks for helping, Ace.
So she was born in August and they're like, they messed something up. So we were supposed to pay for her birth. And clearing this up took my wife dozens of phone calls across 6 months. And
on-brand medical care is bad enough. Off-brand, nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
My wife is waiting 4 months to see a rheumatologist now, too.
So good it's Lord.
Like, you're trying to tell me that private health care is going to work better? This is like...
We could get into a whole conversation here that I'm eager to have.
I think
but
we should
I don't
just
think
kind
we should.
Of like rein this
I
mean, in.
No. The last thing is, my wife works at the University of Michigan. She has the best health insurance.
Yes, and it's still a pain in the ass.
And
privatized.
It's still insane. Anyway, Dave, you're number two.
Oh yeah, we were at Ace. I was completely lost there. So this is similar to my third one, but sports equipment. So when I'm going to get like. A new, don't like, either enough. Golf clubs or batting gloves or something like that that I'm going to use and want to be at least proficient when I'm playing said activity.
Yeah.
I generally am not going to get the $10 cleats
Crampons.
From Walmart. Yeah.
Pitons.
No. That's, I've...
Pitons?
I've gotten some of those in the past. It's not been good, and I've, like, you know what? If I'm actually going to commit to this, it's going to be worth the extra $20, $30, $50.
Were you saying pittance?
Pittance.
I don't know what he's saying.
Pitons. One of the things you put in rock walls.
Oh.
You don't know how to pronounce that either.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought you were trying to say like pittance, as in like
no,
you're paying a small
no,
amount.
No. My number two is spring games.
Oh, boy.
So Michigan just announced their spring game.
Their off-brand spring game.
Open practice. And like when Harbaugh first got here, you remember like they had like the review with the goal line?
It was awesome.
That was the second one. The first one was a legit game.
Okay. But the first two were like, cool.
Yeah.
They got people heavily invested in the outcome of a spring game.
Right. And, yeah. like you know, you got Chris Partridge jumping up and down because they
we had a field rush after a spring game.
And, like, Harbaugh's looking at the monitor.
Wyatt Shulman is headbanging.
Playing a fit. Like, and now it's just like, oh, we're back to the car stuff. That's a bummer, man. It's a bummer.
Well, and the roster's deep enough that you could probably have.
You could absolutely put on a real spring game.
The only problem,
I get very much annoyed when I see like Ohio State getting 110,000 people to come out for theirs, and it's
a real game.
And we're stuck watching a glorified practice where they keep moving around the time, and it's not even. Is it even televised live? Not usually.
Well, why would it be? It's a practice.
That's true. I'd prefer the condensed. I didn't even watch it last year.
I left. Before the end of it last
year.
Wait,
it was like 4 hour spring game last year. It was a 4 hour practice spring game last year.
Yeah, and it was like.
Yeah, it was long and boring.
And I was like waiting for like the last McNamara possession, and then I waited again, and there was another one, and I was like, all right, I got better things to do than to be at the Michigan spring game. And that's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, not great at
and
all.
It just kind of contributes to the overall feeling of. Malaise.
And like we said, there have been times when Michigan couldn't put out 10 offensive linemen. And
now
like,
they absolutely can.
But now you can, and their defensive line is probably deep enough for the most part. And, I mean, their players, it's kind of like watching spring training or some exhibition stuff where it's like if you're deeply invested in this team, you kind of want to see what your bench is going to look like. You kind of want to see who are the last people going to make this team or fill out that too deep. And that's one of the best times that you can actually see some of those players. Because if somebody gets hurt or you need to go to a special situation, well, what if Michigan needs a third safety? I'd like to see what he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah. So spring games. Ace, your number one.
Brett Favre.
What?
If you want to use a more modern example, Baker Mayfield. What I'm saying is you don't want the knockoff version of a gunslinger quarterback.
Oh, Johnny Manziel.
Because then you end up with, like, Jameis Winston throwing 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same season.
He got LASIK, right, I think?
He did get LASIK this offseason, which may solve the 30 interceptions thing. We'll see. I'm skeptical.
I'm slightly skeptical as well.
Well, I mean, Johnny Manziel, when he's, like, playing against Alabama, and I don't know if you remember this particular play that is burned into my memory, but he escapes the pocket And he's running around, and then he just chucks a 500 ball.
He had Mike Evans.
Yeah, and he had Mike Evans to go get it.
Turns out that does not work well in the NFL. Like,
this guy's not an NFL quarterback. You got to get out of here. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, he was a knockoff version, also in that he was small and had other problems.
Well, that.
So, yeah, yeah, you don't want a knockoff Brett Favre.
That's true. Dave, you're number one.
Electronics. So, like, when I need a new cord, or, like, back in the day when your Sega controller would break or something would happen.
You get the Mad Cats with a Z.
I would not, but I've used those, and they don't last. They have not lasted very long for me. Or, like, if I need a new phone cord, things like that. If something that I'm going to depend on.
No, phone cords are different. Phone cords are a scam, man. Like, $75 for...
Okay, yeah. I'm not
a racket USB, going.
Probably racket. Not spending $75, yeah. But... Yeah, no, I'm, or for like a laptop. Like, I'm not going to get like the cheapest $300 laptop that I can find.
All right.
Personally.
All right. My number one is plastic wrap.
I was not anticipating that.
Off-brand plastic wrap is a sin.
Does it not tear?
It doesn't work.
Doesn't stay on?
You put it on the thing and it grows legs and it walks away.
That's...
It's garbage!
That might be worth getting just to see.
I've been using like a... industrial-sized roll of Kirkland plastic wrap for a long time, and it's fine.
That's a different ballgame entirely, because Costco has, I mean...
They've got the hookup.
Their products are usually good. You just can only buy hummus in multiples of 2 pounds.
Yes.
I went to Costco over the holidays, because my mom is a Costco person. It just weirds me out. I don't like Costco, but I went in, and I picked up my 2 pounds of hummus, and I just started singing, 2 pounds of hummus... 2 pounds of hummus, because it was like a religion in there, man. You get your 2 pounds of hummus.
How many kittens, man?
No, well, I mean, it wasn't Lantana hummus, so probably a few kittens. They don't have Lantana hummus. This is what I'm saying.
Is this when you got all the mustard too?
No, that's a Bush's thing where it's like you can only buy 5 of these. If you buy 4 of them, it's $1 million. But if you buy 5 of them, they're free.
I don't think that's called buying. I think that's just taking.
Okay. They're a nominal price that adds up to about 47 cents. And so I'm at Bush's and I'm like, I need some more mustard. Let's get some mustard. Yeah. And then you get home and you've already got 3 things of mustard. And then you just...
So I don't think you needed mustard.
Is this the second time we brought up how much mustard you have in your fridge on the podcast?
I don't know. Will it be the last? No.
We prepped it. I don't know if we actually talked about it.
No, we talked about it.
Okay.
Is this a streak? Is this consecutive weeks?
No, it is not consecutive. I think it was like 3 weeks ago.
Dang.
But anyway.
They're all running together now.
So like the Kirkland stuff does not count as off-brand.
That's fair. I don't know.
Don't you think the Target brand is off-brand?
That's different.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a house brand. Like, you know, Trader Joe's isn't off-brand. It's a house brand. So I actually have the same roll because my mom got it for me, and I hate it because it's just you pull it and it falls off everything, and you need like Unix to carry it around. I prefer just the regular stuff from the thing, but
I'm just not going to ask what happens in the Cook household.
I drop him off, and then I'm also not going to ask
what Brian's idealized vision of the Cook household is.
Well, I mean, they can't mess around with your... Anyway.
Do you sing about other condiments at home, too?
No, just the hummus. Just the 2 pounds of hummus. But if you're, like, buying, like, the Our Family or the Spartan brand plastic wrap, it's not doing anything.
And then get the Master of Whispers to carry around for you.
I mean, that's
a Game of Thrones reference.
Just stop screwing around with the off-brand plastic wrap. It gets all... clingy and stupid and can't even put it on anything. It's terrible. The sharp blade is made out of plastic and it's not sharp because it's a fungo bat. It's terrible. Don't buy it. All right. I think we're ready for a different segment.
Yes.
I guess we get to talk about hockey now.
We could still do Big Ten basketball. Oh, except there's so many games today.
Yeah.
Jerks.
The University of Michigan was the place we all came together. It's where we pursued our curiosities and where we rallied around things that really mattered. The Alumni Association has now made it possible for you to reconnect with your fellow Wolverines around endless topics within alumni online communities. It's where you can join in the discussion or start your own on any subject from your career, identity, hobbies, or interests. Go to umalumni.com/communities and keep the conversation going.
This is Matt Demrest, the owner of Homeshare Lending. We're a local mortgage company here to help you purchase with confidence and refinance with ease. People don't get mortgages very often, so it can be confusing. We'll break down every single line item so that it all makes sense. And at the end of the day, if we're not giving you the best deal, we'll tell you to go with the other company. We're here to offer our simple mortgage guidance.
This is Seth Fisher from MGO Blog. Over the years, we've sent dozens of readers to use Homeshare Lending, and every review that's come back has been raving. I myself used them to refinance after doing our original loan through our bank. I was amazed how much smoother the process was for our complicated loan. Brian used them, you should use them too.
Finding out whether it makes sense or not to refinance or getting pre-approved to buy a new home is easy. Head over to homeshorelending.com. That's H-O-M-E-S-U-R-E lending.com/mgoblog to find out more. Or call us at 734-531-9950. That's 734-531-9950. I've got two of my favorite people here with me. Kind of an annual tradition. Cooper and Colby. Cooper, how old are you?
11.
Colby, how about you?
9.
Can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue!
NMLS number 1161358, Equal Housing Lender.
Passion for e-commerce.
Sell stuff online.
Security. Performance.
Conversion.
Beautiful user experiences.
Belle expérience utilisateur.
Monthly marketing.
PPC SEO.
Make your user a customer.
Conversion.
Eau de Parfum for online retailers. Love your website. Let Human Elements show you how. Available at human-element.com and find department stores, not find department stores.
Say, do you like clickbait? Do you like articles that take about 5 minutes and zero knowledge to write? Well, you listen to this podcast and you probably read MGO Blog, which means you don't, and it's probably time to get that Athletic subscription. I'm going to get you 40% off. Just listen in. The Athletic is a subscription-based sports news site delivering in-depth sports coverage for diehard fans. You read exclusive stories on Michigan football by Nick Baumgartner and Austin Meek, Michigan basketball by Brendan Quinn, national stories from writers you know like Bruce Feldman, Stuart Mandel, and Seth Davis. There's no ads, no pop-ups, no clickbait. The Athletic is setting a new standard for sports news coverage. You can join today for Wolverines content you won't find anywhere else and get 40% off your annual subscription by going to theathletic.com/mgoblog. Again, that's athletic.com/mgoblog.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
The meaning this time, but here comes another one. And if you clap your hands, the man will fall. Hold your breath, he'll shake himself to death.
All right, in lieu of talking about this weekend's hockey series, we've decided on another 15 minutes of me ranting about plastic wrap.
Let's go.
Wow. You'd rather talk about...
I'd rather talk about...
This is Ace's hockey segment, so...
You actually watched the game, so this is your fault.
Oh, yeah. Now you can't mute yourself.
Yeah, I did tune in a little bit.
That's a little...
I'm sorry, this weekend might have been on me.
The good news is that if you only watched one of the games... You still saw both of them.
It did feel pretty familiar.
I mean, it's just the Michigan versus Notre Dame game for most of the past 5 years where one team has six opportunities at goal, the other team has seven, and one of them converts twice.
So the thing that happened when they played in South Bend is that Michigan got early goals. And in one of the games, I think they got two. And so then that forces Notre Dame to actually have to play the game of hockey instead of just sitting back and waiting.
But in all four of these games, the winning team scored two goals that weren't empty net goals.
Yes. Yeah, so. So Michigan had 3, I think, one time. But yeah, I think they won 4-1. But
did
yeah,
they? Well, but so it's just it's like playing a Ron Mason Michigan State team, except Ron Mason Michigan State teams usually had a top line where a couple of guys were actually headed for the NHL.
I mean, Notre Dame has like 7 guys who are drafted.
Yeah, but who's their top talented? I mean, they don't score at all. It's just a stultifying brand of hockey. And then the Minnesota Penn State game was on immediately after. And like, I think Penn State had like 24 shots in the first period. And I was like, this is a different sport.
Yeah.
The Notre Dame games are so bad that you start coming up with increasingly crazy rules changes for hockey in your head.
You do that anyway.
So I started off with you should just never blow the whistle for offsides. It's just you can't score if you're offsides. So you can get rid of all the whistles that way. And I finished that series thinking that using your stick in the defensive zone should be a penalty. Like you should have to.
Were you talking to Craig about this?
Yes. You have to check your stick in the bench to go in the defensive zone. No sticks for defenders. That's the take. No sticks for defenders. I know this is crazy, but after watching Michigan play Notre Dame for 120 minutes, I was like, this sport is bullshit. And that's what Notre Dame hockey does to you.
But I mean, soccer can be like that as well.
Soccer can be like that. And I got lots of good ideas about soccer, too. It's just incredibly frustrating games to watch. Just they're just so stultifying.
Yeah, and there weren't that many penalties. There were some complaints about some of the calls maybe in the first or second game. But so my thing that I saw before the game when I was previewing this was that Notre Dame's penalty kills at 77%, which, I mean, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago when Michigan had one of those towards the end of their season and they were trying to make the tournament. Anytime they took a penalty, it was like, for 2 minutes. And I thought, okay, Michigan has been drawing penalties. They've been increasing scoring chances in the last few weeks, even back into the Notre Dame series. And if they can get 4 or 5 penalties, they'll probably get a goal or two because they've been improving in Notre Dame. That's their weakness. And they got 4 power plays all weekend. Kind of got close on 1, maybe 2 of them, but that was about it. And the game ended up being played 5-on-5 the most of it, and you saw what Notre Dame does to 5-on-5 hockey.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, they had a couple good looks. The second period of, I believe it was the Friday game, they were pretty overwhelming and had, I think, 3 odd man rushes, including Will Lockwood had a semi-breakaway. Hayhurst had a 2-on-1. I think in both games that he had a really great chance to score and just couldn't beat Morris. And, you know, Morris was really good. The defense was really good, but Morris just cleaned up pretty much anything else that the defense didn't. And he hasn't had the best year and a half, because I don't know if you remember 2 years ago again when Notre Dame looked unbeatable, his save percentage was like 94 or 95, which was like unbelievable. And this was like this weekend was basically a throwback to that.
Yeah, it's disgusting and I hate it.
I see this is going to be a productive few minutes.
It's just did you have fun watching the games this weekend?
The Friday game was all right. The Saturday game was like the first 2 periods were just awful. Yeah, I mean, you kind of, when you have that, you need a goal to go in for one of the teams so that something has to force play.
It was like halfway through the Saturday game, and I think both teams had combined for about 10 shots.
Yeah, no, you're like, right, and nobody got a shot in the Saturday game until I think I tweeted like about the 13 minute mark or something, which is like nobody shoots for the first third of the period.
I was bored. I'm not normally bored by hockey when I actually choose to tune in.
And there's a lot of stoppages because Michigan couldn't break the puck out, so there's no like momentum going into the offensive end. They're having to like try to dump the puck in, and because Notre Dame is like kind of trapping them at the line, they dump it in 2 feet, 3 feet before, and then it's an icing call, and there's like pucks are getting deflected in the net all the time, and there's just no rhythm or flow. And
it was bad enough hockey that I was relieved when Notre Dame went up by 2 goals each night, because then I could turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and you know, Michigan has this period where they've scored 4.2 goals a game over the past 10 games, which is the best in the country.
Yeah.
But you go back and you look at the goals and it's like, okay, they got 8 past Wisconsin's goalie because he's absolutely awful. And how many of those were soft?
5 the next night.
And like, you know, the Penn State goals, it's like, all right, you had 3 of them really late in a period, and it's just...
And Lethemon wasn't great.
Lethemon
wasn't great last weekend either.
He did not look at all like a 940 goalie. And Michigan had some clever plays to take advantage of where he was looking. Mm-hmm. But this was a snap back to reality of the first half of the season, and I think...
And this was Notre Dame playing at their best. Like, they played as good as they could play, especially in the defensive end and in net, and then they took advantage of a couple of breakdowns that Michigan had, because this is the thing, is that Michigan's gotten a lot better on defense, but they're not like a stalwart defense now that is like, oh, you can't move them at all. It's they will have a couple breakdowns here or there, and if you take advantage of them, and Notre Dame did.
Yeah, it felt like, at least early in the Saturday game, is by that point, Michigan had just been so bamboozled by the constant defensive discipline of Notre Dame that Blankenberg, who's probably Michigan's best defenseman on the puck this year, is moving up the ice. He's in his own zone. He's got no pressure whatsoever. He can walk across the red line, and he just flings it up the ice for an icing call. And I'm just like, you know, I expect that from Griffin Luce every once in a while.
Yeah, because he's just trying to get rid of the puck.
Right, and for Blankenberg to do it is just like, it felt like Michigan was extremely frustrated by the fact that they couldn't find any open ice, and their decision-making went in a hole afterwards. So
yeah, and I mean, that's what, you know, good defenses do, is kind of while pushing you around and making you be perfect in your passing and precision, you know, they get in your head, and then you start, like, cutting little bits of corners and trying to force stuff. And
Michigan is not a clean and crisp offensive team.
No, they've gotten better, but it's still not, like, they don't have an elite NHL goal scorer, and they haven't really, obviously, all year. They've gotten better, like you said, of kind of getting clever ways to get stuff to work against different defenses, yeah. But when you have a defense and a goalie that plays at that level, I mean, at some point you just need to snipe a corner, and if you can't, or you need to get a nice bounce, and they didn't, and I don't know what else you do.
So when you're playing a Penn State or you're playing a Wisconsin, there's going to be open ice, and if you're smart about moving the puck around, you can get open ice, and then you can operate in that open space. Against Notre Dame, there's nothing. So when you dump the puck down, you're always going to be harassed, and Michigan doesn't have the skill level. Like, you know, the Morgan and the Pastryov's line, you know, they had opportunities, and then it would get to someone's stick, and it would just be a fumble, or the pass would be off because there's no room for error.
Yeah.
And Michigan just doesn't have the precision to overcome that kind of stuff.
Well, and that's why when they had Hayhurst in on an odd man rush in both games, you're like, this has to happen now. And they had one time each time, and Morris just went 2018 Morris. And there's, I mean, when goalies do that, what are you going to do? I mean, because Mann's done that to a number of people, so we can't super complain because, you know, Michigan's defense has been leaky at times, and Mann has bailed them out a number of times, and Morris just kind of one-upped him in this series, I thought. I mean, Mann was very good. I don't think any of the goals were remotely on him.
No.
The one maybe he got a piece of could have held it and reached back, but, I mean, that's going to happen at some point. And, like, Morris, I don't know if made a mistake all weekend.
No. So Michigan is now pretty much out of it for an at-large bid. I think that there's maybe one chance in 10 if they make it to the Big Ten final and don't win, they would get in. But it's pretty much
win the tournament
to an auto bid.
And they could literally finish in the Big Ten anywhere from 2-6, depending on the outcomes of next weekend.
Yeah, so big series against Minnesota. Not feeling great about it. You feel a little better because Michigan has played better against teams that are a little bit more open defensively, but we're talking about series on Olympic ice, and this does not feel like the kind of team that improves on Olympic ice.
But Minnesota hasn't had the defense and the goaltending that Notre Dame had.
No, but they're
better. They're a lot better, but they also didn't have the best series against Penn State either, and Penn State's one of those teams that can overwhelm you and likes to dominate shots, and Michigan does that. They don't have probably the individual elite goal scorers maybe that Penn State does, but I don't think Michigan's going to get, like, completely locked down against Minnesota.
No, but a sweep is not a likely outcome.
No, and I never thought it really was going to be coming in anyway, and that's why I think it was imperative that Michigan got an early goal in each of these games against Notre Dame, because then you probably do shut out Notre Dame on the weekend, and you probably do get through if you can break through early. They couldn't do that, and you know, Minnesota's an interesting team because they're going to be young. They're kind of like what Michigan might be next year, where they have a lot of talent, but still kind of young, and you've seen sort of a second half surge from them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's if nothing else, you can maybe see, okay, this is potentially, hopefully, what we can hope for from Michigan in the next year after this kind of stodginess hopefully goes away.
Yeah, well, it'll be reduced next year. I don't know if it'll be entirely gone, but it'll be reduced.
That'll be a little more fun, I think.
Yeah. Buy on-brand plastic wrap.
Thank you for listening to the MGO podcast. I am Ace Ambender, along with Brian Cook and Dave Nasternak. On behalf of MGO Blog, I would just like to apologize to any large groups of people, whether they be religious groups or eunuchs. Yeah, sorry about that.